I want to say thanks again for having us come today. It's fun to look out into the audience and see a lot of the folks that I know. And as Eva mentioned, I've been on the commission for some time, and a lot of you know me by that. But I also have another passion, and that is the passion I'm going to talk to you about today. And I just wanted to give you a little bit of history about that before I actually get into the slideshow. And I will be talking about China. And I have interspersed those slides within the show, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time talking about that trip per se. But I will be talking about it as I talk about art and culture and economics. And I'm happy to answer any questions that you might have about that. I was appointed to the Arts Council many years ago. And I mean many, because I was appointed by Governor Judy Martins. And I've been on the council now about almost 14 years. And I didn't really know the governor at all, and she didn't know me either, really. But I think what she did know about me was that I was interested in art. And I got, I was really asked to come to the council because of my background in tourism. And what the people at the Arts Council at that time realized, and what they realize today, and we work hard on today, is that we know that people from all over the world, all over the country, come to Montana for our recreation. And what they really wanted to think about was, how do we get people to stay longer and appreciate and think about all the art and culture that we have in the state as well. And so they, I knew one of the people on the council, and she asked me to apply, and I applied. And from that time forward, I've been working in this realm of art and tourism. And it's something that I've really enjoyed, and I've always thought that tourism would be my passion, and tourism would be the thing that I would be going and doing forever and ever, but it hasn't really turned out that way. And I no longer serve on the Tourism Advisory Council. I did that for many years as well. And now I really have focused on mostly art, a little bit on heritage, and then the commission. But it's amazing to me that this is where I really found my passion, and this is where I found a lot of joy in spending time when I'm not working on the city things. I'll start a little bit by talking about China. I went to China on an art exchange, and it is a very interesting time. I've been there actually twice in the last several months. I went in October and I went back in December. And this is a picture of my last trip, and I imagine there's a few people in there that you might recognize. And my first trip to China was, as I mentioned, an art exchange. And at the end of that art exchange, I went and visited with Ambassador Baucus and Ms. Haynes and talked about the exchange. And they were very interested. They were very much interested in art. And as you know, they'll be moving back to our fair city here sometime in the very near future. And so they were wondering, well, what can we do to help this effort, Cindy? How can we help with this exchange, and what can we do to grow these relationships? And so they hosted a reception in December. And this is a picture of that reception. And on the far right, you can see one of the artists that was traveling with me, Joe Fay, and then Ambassador Baucus, his wife, that's Parks Reese. And the two people on the left side are Juping Yan and Julie Wu. And they are the folks that have helped coordinate this exchange. And this is a picture that Xu Ping has painted for the ambassador, and it was entitled East Meets West, and that has been the focus of this exchange that we've done with China, really learning and sharing ideas all through the experience of art. This trip and the one before it were attended by artists from the United States as well as artists from China. And again, it was about cultural exchange, it was about painting and sharing stories and ideas in a place where language was really a barrier. And the one thing that was common was art. And I think this is really important, and I think that it's interesting when you think about art, because I believe that it really does have an ability to bring people together and brings cultures together. And I'm reminded of when I worked at the Chamber of Commerce. I spent some time going to the Sundance Institute, and it was as part of my job promoting Montana, of course, because it's so beautiful, and we wanted and we still do want film makers to come here and film this beauty. And it's interesting because I think that beauty that invigorates people and the beauty that brings them here to recreate also is the beauty that cultivates and nurtures art. It nurtures people like Phil Aubert, who play the piano in the vast prairies of eastern Montana, and all kinds of other artists. But it's an interesting combination that we are so lucky to have here. But when I was in Sundance, I remember getting up very early in the morning and going to see movies. And I would get on a bus, and I would travel around to the very different venues, spending time looking, trying, you know, watching these movies. And what really occurred to me was every time I got on a bus, I sat with a lot of people that I didn't know, and they all talked to each other about movies. And they were all interested in, what movie did you see? What, tell me about, you know, did you go to the documentary, or did you go to the animated film? Did you go to the shorts, or what did you do? And it was just occurred to me that all these people that don't know each other, sitting on a bus, talking about art, about movies. Every bus I was on was like that. And it was really interesting, because everybody that was there was interested in seeing these movies. And that's what I found in Sundance, and the same thing in China. People were interested in this whole art experience. I'm going to show you just a couple of slides here that... this is Zhu Ping. He's teaching us a little bit about ink drawing. He's very well known in China for his ink drawings. This is a cultural exchange that I was at in the far western part of China, watching artists work. And again, you know, not really talking, not knowing anything, not knowing the language at all, but being able to experience this wonderful idea of culture and sharing through our art. This is an experience that we had during doing plein air painting. This is not my painting. I am not an artist. I probably should have told you that at the beginning. I don't really paint or draw or sing, but I'm a very big advocate of art. But we spent a lot of time in the field with these artists doing a lot of painting like this, and it was quite an experience. Here's another slide of all of us learning how to do this painting with a special kind of brush with black ink. And again, where we have quite a language barrier, but learning and watching as the folks from China were helping us to create and learn this kind of art. And I think that the other thing that's interesting about art is that it's it doesn't only entertain us, and it doesn't only heal us, but it also gives us an opportunity to express our creativity. And I believe that art is actually the essence of our humanity. I think that we were all born creative. I think we were all born as makers. Some of us took that and went forward with it. Others of us did other things with our lives. But I believe that art is something that is ingrained in everyone, and that it is a human desire to create. And it's not only important in each one of us individually, but it's important in our communities and in our country. And I'm going to talk a little bit about that. I also want to talk a little bit about this idea of the creative economy. Because so often when we talk about economics, art is left out of the equation. And maybe some of you have heard about this STEM program, which is science, technology, engineering, and math. And at the Arts Council, we talk about STEAM: science, technology, engineering, art, and math. And when you think about art and you think about technology, I'm married to somebody who's an IT guy, and he is actually, the painting that you saw, the plein air painting, was Brady's. He's a pretty good visual artist, and he has spent a lot of time thinking about art and doing art. And you find many people in that IT industry have a background of some kind of a creative learning that they've done in their past. So when you think about the creative economy, it's what it is. It's based on people's use of their creative imagination. And this, I'm reading a quote by Stephen Tepper. I happen to sit on a board with him. He's a really interesting guy, and he writes a lot about the creative economy and economics. And so what he says is a creative economy is based on people's use of their creative imagination to increase an idea's value. And a gentleman named John Hawkins developed this idea of a creative economy concept in about 2001. And he described it as an economic system where value is based on novel, imaginative qualities rather than the traditional resources of land, labor, and capital. And compared to the creative industries, which are all limited to specific sectors, the term is used to describe creativity throughout the whole country. That's the creative economy. So many arts advocates and policymakers have argued that certain changes in the economy are having a catalytic effect on arts and culture. In particular, that the arts are heralded as engines of economic growth and development. And I think that if you think about it, you would most likely agree with that. I do. As I mentioned, when I was talking about my husband and what he, in his industry, and the kind of creative thought process that goes on when you're creating code. But the arts are heralded as engines of economic growth and development, and scholars and economists have written about the central role of creative arts and creative clusters and creative economics and the rise of the creative class, and I'm sure you've all heard of that. And so governments have now begun to measure what is the size and scope of this creative economy. And how does it really fit into our economy, and why is it important? And so I'm going to give you a few statistics about that, and I've spent some time talking to Vaughn Judge. He's the director of Montana University about in the arts department. And some statistics that he has given me says that the creative industries globally generate 8 times more wealth than the sports industry. Now, remember, I talked about art and sports a little while ago, and when you think about it, when you go anywhere to a theater, to a movie, to a dance, you're sitting in a room like this or much larger with a whole bunch of people that you don't know, and you're enjoying some kind of something that's very creative. And it's similar in the sporting world, except they're enjoying a different kind of maybe an art. But it's interesting to note that this industry, the creative industry, generates 8 times more than the sports industry. The average creative worker's hourly rate is somewhere between $22.50 and $52, almost $60 an hour. Here's an interesting statistic about Montana University. Vaughn was telling me that the Montana State University School of Arts, in 2015, their exit survey of their graduate students in the School of Art indicated that 62% had employment in the arts within 6 months of graduation. Those that had MFAs and MA program that graduated with MFAs and in MA programs had 100% employment in the arts within 2 months of graduation. And for the class of 2015, the graphic design BFA graduates attained a 79% job placement in the profession within 6 months of graduation. The number of jobs in the creative industry has risen 20% since 2011 to about 1.9 million. And I imagine it's a little higher right now because these are facts from 2015. The 2012 Creative Industry Summary for Americans for the Arts found that in January of 2012, there were 905,689 businesses involved in the creation or distribution of the arts, employing 3.35 million Americans. Art-related businesses comprised almost 4.5% of all the businesses in America and employed 2.15% of all workers. So as you can see, it's a pretty robust industry. And again, many times when we talk about economics, art is not at the table. Arts goods represented a $64 billion export industry in the United States in 2010. And that figure compares quite favorably with exports such as food, which is almost $52 billion, pharmaceuticals, which is about $35 billion, and art craft, which is about $77.5 billion. And it's also important to keep in mind that arts-related businesses are just a portion of the overall creative economy. It's formidable, and it should definitely be included in the conversation. And, you know, it's so formidable that back in 19, 1963, 62, we had a president who thought art was pretty darn important, too. And this is a picture of President Kennedy at his inauguration. And one of the things he said about art is that the life of the arts, far from being an interruption, a distraction, in the life of a nation, is very close to the center of a nation's purpose and is a test of the quality of a nation's civilization. They were some of, among the first who really talked about art in the White House in the way that put it out there for all of America. And the other thing that happened, unfortunately, after Kennedy was assassinated, was the creation of the National Endowment for the Arts. And I would argue that he was the one that really got the ball rolling on this, although it came into being with Lyndon Johnson in 1965. And the idea behind the National Endowment was a very interesting idea. It was unlike many of the programs that had started during the Depression, during the WPA. Those programs were for artists to find employment. The National Endowment was created to nurture creativity, to elevate the nation's culture, and to sustain and preserve the country's many artistic traditions. Their mission was to spread artistic prosperity throughout the country, from the very dense neighborhoods of large cities to the very small rural areas like we have here in Montana, so that every citizen might enjoy America's cultural legacy. It wasn't intended to solve a problem like the other programs before it, but rather to embody hope. The NEA is strong today, and we actually benefit quite a bit from the NEA. Let's see here. Unlike federal programs, it was not focused on finding employment, but actually on this idea that creativity and culture should be nurtured throughout our country. And over the last 50 years, the NEA just celebrated their 50-year birthday. It has supported a wide range and variety of social and cultural change, works that support, that show social and cultural change. And I might argue that of any federal agency, it has done more to document our history through the ages than any other agency. And, you know, does it create controversy? You bet. And uncomfortableness? Yes. Think about the Maple Forum. I mean, that was all the rage about the NEA. We almost lost the NEA over that, and thank you, Pat Williams, for being there to help save that. But I've come to believe that when I look at something that I'm not comfortable with or that I maybe don't like, it's doing something, it's moving something in me. And that is art, and that's what it's supposed to do. It gets into your soul, and it makes you feel one way or another. And it tells a story, and it relays something with no words, really, just visuals. Whether you're looking at a painting or you're looking at a dance, it tells a story with no words. So I want to talk a minute about the NEA, and I'm sure this is really hard for all of you to see, but just in terms of how Montana benefits from the National Endowment of the Arts. We receive money from the NEA. Now, this is from FY15. We get a grant from the NEA, but on the left-hand side, you can see that there's money that goes to an organization called WESTAF, which is Western States Arts Federation. I sit on that board, and that is a board that, as you can see, it's a regional nonprofit, and it serves organizations whose mission is to strengthen the financial, organizational policy, and infrastructure of the arts in the West. And so what they do is they help with organizational activities. They help with policy making. They help with, they're helping us right now with an executive director search. And they serve all those all those states that you can see at the bottom. There are six regional agencies like WESTAF. There's one in the South, there's one in the North. There's six of them around the country. And then they receive money from the NEA, and then you can see on the right where the Montana Arts Council receives money from the NEA as well, and a lot of that money goes to grants that we give out through many different kinds of programs, which I will talk about in a minute. And we also work very closely with Montana Arts, which is a nonprofit organization that also helps helps with state organizations, and money flows through them to do a lot of policy work, and then also working with the Montana Cultural Advocacy Group. And that money also comes down through the NEA. And the Arts Council is a council that can't advocate, so much of our budget comes from the legislature, and we're able to use money through that cultural advocacy to help us make our case at the Montana legislature. So as you can see, that NEA money, this is just in Montana, and it spreads out all through the country and does great work with regard to arts and advocacy. So a little bit about the council. We are governed by a board of 15 people. And I told you I was going to put some slides in about China, right? So I had to figure out a creative way to do this. So we have 15 people that are on the on Montana Arts Council. They're appointed by the governor, and they're all from all across the state. They're from small towns and large communities. And we meet quarterly, and we have a lot of fun, and we primarily look at how we take this money that's been distributed to us and get it out to artists and arts organizations and help with educational research as well. We also have five staff members who help us in the arts world. And go ahead, Sherry.
These are just...
I didn't have any pictures of our staff, so I thought I'd show you some. Some are from China. Really interesting. So it's really old, and it's from the very western part of China, where we were able to see some the Mao Gao Caves, which is on the National Historic Register, and it's quite amazing. There's a couple more staff pictures in there. And of course, they have, you know, the staff has a very small little place in Helena where they work. And so I thought it would be really important to show you that. And they're also very, you know, they get along really great together, so they spend a lot of time eating meals together. And, you know, this is one of the delicacies that they love. This was actually at a market in Beijing. And it is pigeons, just like it says. It is there. And there's these are some other delicacies of the sea that you find in the market of Beijing. I wanted to talk for a minute about some of the things that the Arts Council does in terms of our grants and awards. And one of the programs that we do is called Arts in the Schools. And this program provides matching funds up to about $10,000 for nonprofits for artists to go into a school and work with students and teachers. And we've had artists actually from Bozeman that have done this, and they come from all over the state. And this is where I'm going to, Sherry and I are going to tag team to make sure that I don't leave anything out here.
Okay.
Would you like to say anything about arts in the school?
Actually, the one thing I want to talk about about artists in the schools is that it is an opportunity for artists across the state to participate in an experience that they might not otherwise have. And the kids love it. They just absolutely adore getting to work with a real artist, you know. And it's inspiring because then it does show children that a life in the arts is possible.
Great. We have a great program, and we have a great director of that program as well. Another one of our programs is called the Cultural and Aesthetic Grant Program. And in 1975, the legislature set aside a percentage of the coal tax to restore the murals at the Capitol and support other cultural and aesthetic projects. And so this is a cultural trust with money allocated every 2 years, and the grants are derived from the interest of that trust. And in 1983, the legislature established a Coal and Aesthetics Project Advisory Committee with about 16 members, and half of those members are chosen by the Montana Arts Council, and half of them are chosen by the Historical Society, and they review all the proposals for these grants, and they make funding recommendations to the legislature, who then determines who receives the grants. And the Montana Arts Council is the group that administers all these projects. Yeah. program that we talk about and we have and minister is called the Strategic Investments Program, and this provides up to $1,000 in matching funds to professional artists, nonprofits, and 501c3 arts organizations, and preschool through 12th grade. And this is for things like professional development, marketing research, public outreach, all those kinds of things that folks need help with. And we do this every month as long as the money holds out. And it's a very popular program, and we have many, many organizations and artists that work and apply for this.
And the thing I want to offer with regard to the strategic investment for the grants, strategic investment grants, which we call SIG grants. You might hear that term floating around. But the grant is really, really easy to apply for. It's an online application. Kristen Hombergoyne is our grants administrator, also our current co-director. And she is so beautifully easy to work with, incredibly generous with her time. So if you know any artists who have a special project that they, and this is where I sort of know more about it, is the opportunity for market expansion grants and then challenges and emergencies. If you know of an artist who is in need of funds, it's possible that they can get some help through our SIG grant program more easily than they might think. So I just want to point the ease of application out on that.
This is a big one. It's called our Public Value Partnership. And the Montana Arts Council is known around the country for a lot of things. Our former director, Arnie Fishbaugh, was someone who had a lot of entrepreneurial thinking. She was full of vim and vigor, and she just went out there and did it. And this public value partnership was something that the Montana Arts Council is really proud of, and it's a partnership that we have between Montana and nonprofit arts organizations who champion the fact that arts are a benefit to all citizens of Montana and worthy of state and federal investment. And this grant comes about once a year, I believe, and many organizations apply for this money, and you will see it spread throughout the state. I know there's a really beautiful piece of art at the Billings Prison that is outside the women's prison. And there's some out here at MSU. There's some public art out by the airport, not at the Bozeman Airport, but the Army, I'm trying to think of what it's called, the Army, the Corps of Engineers, I believe, yeah. So, anything you want to say on that?
Well, I just want to say that so many organizations in our communities that benefit from the Public Value Partnership grant funding and opportunity. And many of those organizations are volunteer-run, as I'm sure you know. And if anyone has any grant-writing opportunity or grant-writing experience and you have an interest in contributing to the arts, one way you can do that is by helping any of these arts agencies apply for the grant. This grant is a little bit tougher. So for an all-volunteer arts organization, it sometimes is a little bit daunting, but it's we get a lot of money, and we pride ourselves on accountability for that money. So so it is something that you could get involved with if you have that experience and knowledge and wanted to share.
I wanted to talk a little bit about some awards that we give out, and we recently had the Governor's Arts Awards. And this year, unfortunately, Governor Bullock was not able to attend, but we were fortunate to have Pat Williams step in his place. And it's such a great opportunity to recognize artists and arts organizations around the state who have really gone above and beyond, whose work that is renowned and will live on for a long, long time. This year, a few people that I recall are Jack Gladstone and MJ Williams got an award this year. Patrick Zenz, Ted Waddell has received an award. There's quite a list of notable artists that have received awards, and it's quite an honor. And they're all listed on our website if you're interested. But these folks are people that are still alive and still working in the arts world today and contributing in a way that is very remarkable. Artist Innovation Awards is another area that we give awards to, and this is for artists who have demonstrated innovation or something different to further their arts vision. They're furthering their work in the arts, You have to have a lot of originality, dedication to the arts, and be able to be really motivated and self-directed. And this is the Montana Master's Program, and this is a really interesting program, because what I have found with this one is that we have found these people all over the state of Montana in very small, often rural places, who are really carrying out these folk traditions, sometimes Native American, sometimes just American folk traditions, making saddles, making instruments, making fly rods. And it recognizes, this program recognizes these artists for their excellence and their ability to help preserve those folk arts. And it's, Sherry does a lot of work in that arena, and I'm sure she's going to talk a little bit more about that, too. And I'm going to turn it over to Sherry now to talk about the Montana Entrepreneur Program. But before I do, I just want to say that as I sit on these boards that I mentioned around the country, this is the program that people are really interested in. And one of the reasons why is because what this program does is it teaches an artist how to, the business side of art. Because so often you have people, artists, that are looking, they create beautiful art, and then they're like, now what? How do I get out in the world? How do I let people know what I'm doing? And there are arts organizations all over the country that would love to recreate this program. So I'm going to turn it over to Sherry and let her talk a little bit about it.
Well, I want to say thank you again for having us. It's just such an honor to be here to present on behalf of the Montana Arts Council. And I am Sherry Jarvis. I am the Montana Entrepreneur Program Director. And I live in Virginia City. And as our beautiful presenter already said, I get to travel all over the state and work with artists. MCAM, I want to talk really quickly about, which you just heard about, the Montana Circle of American Masters, is a program through our folk arts efforts. And those, more unlike what the statistics that Vaughn Judge presented about jobs creation once you go through an MFA program or a BA program, the folk arts recognize people who are working in folk and traditional crafts, the areas of art that are not taught in university. And that is actually one of the key components, is that they learn their art and craft through traditional means, through apprenticeships and community engagement. And so I wanted to just punctuate that for a second, because I think it shows a tier or a leg, not a tier, but like a leg of artists that is also so fundamental in our society, and coming from a different place of experience. So we recognize, we believe wholeheartedly at the Montana Arts Council, that art is not always about pretty things. Art is who we are and what happened to us and what we believe and what we have experienced in life and how that affects us and how we can share that with the rest of the world. Artists recreate their experiences in the most authentic way. And one of the things I want to say about artists and going back to something Cindy said about tourism is that tourism is cultural tourism is a $171 billion industry in our nation right now. The average tourist went on vacation for cultural, who have the cultural interests, will spend, I think the statistic is about $1,800 above and beyond their travel and lodging, their meals and lodging. And so they often want something to commemorate their experience that is authentic and true, and that comes from artists. And so the Montana Entrepreneur Program is it's a program of the Montana Arts Council. I have this slide in here. It's a little bit out of order, and I apologize. But some of you may know this gentleman, Don Greytak. He's been a Montana artist of note for many, many, many years. He's beloved in eastern Montana. And I love this slide because it talks about storytelling. And in the Montana Entrepreneur Program, we teach storytelling through art. And we help the community meet the masters. Ben Polk is one of our Montana Entrepreneur Program artists and an MCAM artist. And she lives outside of Wilsall, and she's a weaver. And so at the Montana Entrepreneur Program, we serve artists across the state And our primary program philosophy is this. So some people think that artists are on the left. And some people think that if artists could just get it together, if they could just do the math, they would be successful. And we look at business principles in their traditional offered form in this way. Oh my God, math. No, I'm not doing that. And so it seems like it would be an unreconcilable combination. But at the Montana Entrepreneur Program, we look at business in a very, very different way. There's a difference between the business of art and the business of business. So in the traditional business sense, you have, you know, you're going to open a coffee shop, you have your demographic analysis, you look at all the trends and the inclinations of the people who are likely to shop with you, and you create the product that is most likely to make you the most money relative to that demographic and that pattern of behavior. And when we think about the business of art, we can do it that way. All of us, as artists, I'm a painter, a potter, I work in mixed media. I made that piece on the left. We're all very capable. We've been creative since birth. Like Cindy said earlier, we're all makers, we're all creators, and we're all very, very capable. So I could spend my days painting mountains that visitors who come to Bozeman want to see, and that's what they want to buy. But that isn't really what it's about. It's really about figuring out what brings you alive as an artist, what you truly have to say about your world and about your experience. And then as you cultivate that skill in your craft, then you need to find out who is uniquely interested in the story that you want to tell. So rather than build to the market, we build from the soul, and we find the market that's interested in purchasing our art. Again, I want to reference Vaughn Judge's statistics, because they're really, really exciting, but I think they also lean heavily on the side of traditional jobs. And as artists, we're all told to get a job. We're told to get a real job. That making art, right? That making art isn't a real job. But at the Montana Entrepreneur Program, we believe that a sustainable life in the arts is available through a very specific and strategic process. And so this is what we're doing with MAP. And I have some cards on the back table that look like this. And you can tell, you can grab those on your way out if you haven't already grabbed one. But it will give you a little bit about the statistics of MAP and how it works. And I want to make sure that if you are interested, make sure you get one of these. So we represent, our program to date has served over 400 artists across the state of Montana. We work in small teams, which we call cohorts. And right now, we're funded through the Department of Commerce and the Made in Montana team, which supports our program through the end of this fiscal year. We've been funded by agencies such as the USDA, the Emily Hall Tremaine Foundation, which is a private grant organization. We have never to date, except for through the Department of Commerce, received funding through the Montana State Legislature. We've always sort of bootstrapped it, to be honest. We are in our seventh year of working with artists across the state in this program, and our cohorts are all over the state of Montana, east to west. And little known fact, if you put the eastern edge of the Montana border in Washington, D.C., the western edge lands in Chicago. Isn't that crazy? It's a big state. So we do everything we can to take our program out to people across the state who are often hiding in plain sight. And we represent all visual artists, whether it's fiber arts, traditional two-dimensional art, pottery, you name it. And our artists learn 35 practical, pragmatic tools of business development through an 8 to 10 month course. And one of the tools is process photos, and I just love this slide because it shows the power of process photos, of showing people the passion that goes into an artist's process. And these photographs tell incredible stories about who these artists are and how much they put into their craft. And as a general philosophy, we don't just teach business skills. We don't. We certainly teach budgeting. We certainly talk about math. We talk about a business plan. 35 tools like that. But in the course of our time together, of which community is the secret sauce, we talk about what does possibility look like? What does fulfillment look like? And where do you want to go? The program structure is uniquely tailored to be applicable to the person who is interested in doing art as, selling art as a small component of what they do. So say you're a university professor and you want to learn more about how to put your art out into the marketplace beyond just museum shows. And it can be helpful. It can be a helpful component of your sustainable life in the arts. You can do it part-time, or you can make your living in the arts. And we have some statistics about the program, which I've made a couple of copies, I've made about a dozen copies, which are on the back table as well, proving the efficacy of our program. And it's a document that looks like this, and that it will tell you we've done a longitudinal survey of the program over its entire time with the Montana Arts Council, and we see that the arts, that this program has true economic value and benefit to the state of Montana. For instance, people who have been through the program have increased out-of-state sales of over 45%, and they have a 450 to 600% increase in net sales. Not gross sales, net sales. They're learning to not work for 17 cents an hour. They're learning to get to the $22 to $50 an hour mark. And so I have a quick video that I'd like to show you. And I'm hoping it comes through here, otherwise I will pause.